506 Time Check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. That song has been used in a lot of movies. I think my favorite movie that it's been used in is Remember the Titans. But multiple movies.
We've played a couple of songs today that are Remember the Titans. One you were singing was a Remember the Titans song, I think. I don't remember.
Ain't No Mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think
that's
so.
That's right, it was. Yeah. It was a Forrest Gump, too, right?
I believe so. Yeah, that was.
The one we just heard, room.
Yeah. Take it or leave it coming up. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. You can still vote at our Twitter page, 101 ESPN Fastlane, for who the best 70s singer was, whether it was Ronge, BT, or Randy. Vote now at our Twitter page. Baseball gives fans and...
Randy. Yeah. You can't vote D, none of the above, okay?
No, that's not an option.
Vote for somebody.
And death isn't an option either.
Darn it.
That's for our text line, 657.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Baseball gives fans incredible access to the players with close seats to the field and dugout. And, of course, this comes with a little chirping from both players and fans. Over the weekend, Manny Machado had a chirp fest with a Dodgers fan and made a bold claim.
Manny, congrats. With that big of a contract, you've got 10 Octobers off now. 10 straight Octobers off. Come on, you could have had it all with L.A.
Mention my contact. We'll win the World Series before you guys do.
You got a lot of skill. You could have won 5 here in 10 years.
I will bet you my contract that we'll win a World Series before you guys do.
Old move, Cotton. I mean, I think
did he shake on it?
He probably had his fingers crossed,
okay,
too. Padres are very, very talented. They've got some stars. Manny Machado is certainly among them. I don't know if I'd put all my eggs in that basket right now.
All Manny has to do is just hope the Dodgers never win. But as we were talking about during the break, they just have the feel of a team that's going to run the table in the regular season and then just take a big old crap when the playoffs roll around,
like
don't they?
Like a lightning type thing?
Yeah, Tampa Bay, for sure.
The Gold Cup was played last night at Soldier Field, Chicago. Mexico defeating the USA men's team 1-0. And a woman recovering from injuries after falling 40 feet from the upper level at Soldier Field during the match. Take it or leave it, since she was at a soccer match, she'll just get up from that fall and was back at work this morning.
I'll take it.
I'm going to leave it. That's for players only.
Oh.
Real falls, I think that you're still injured. Because it was a real injury.
Oh.
For real, though, is she dead?
It says she's injured. And actually, they say that her condition is stabilized now.
Oh, good.
Okay.
At least she's stable.
So I guess paralysis is stable, isn't it?
Kind of. Well, I guess if you're breathing, you're stable, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On your own?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
40 feet?
That's a lot of feet.
All right. As you guys know, the Home Run Derby is tonight. Derby time.
Baby.
Take it or leave it. You are more interested in the Home Run Derby this year due to the fact that there is $1 million on the line.
Leave it.
I'll leave it.
I didn't even
yeah.
think about that until you said it.
Now, totally agree. I told you, are you more interested?
No.
I am. I'm taking it. And the main reason is because all these guys that are playing, participating in the Derby, well, they're all probably had good signing bonuses and will be rich at some point. Outside of Carlos Santana, they're not all that rich.
Mm.
So, I mean, you've got a few guys making the minimum. Alonso, Vlad Guerrero, Matt Chapman just above it. Josh Bell's making $587. Bregman's making $640. And Acuna is making the $1 million. So that is 6 of the 8 participants that are making this year less money or even to what this bonus would be. Peterson's making $5 million. Carlos Santana, it's a drop in the bucket for him. He's making $17 million. I think that when you get down to the wire, the money's gonna get these guys going a little bit.
I think you're probably right. But what I will take is that I'm more interested in the Home Run Derby with the new format as opposed to the way it was a couple of years ago.
I agree with that, too.
I think it's
this flows
way
so
better.
Much better.
Yes, way better. From Pamplona, Spain, 5 people hospitalized after the opening bull run of this year's San Fermín Festival in Pamplona, including 2 Americans and a Spaniard who were gored by the bulls, according to Spanish officials. A 46-year-old man from California gored in the neck in the city's bull ring. That was at the end of the 850-meter course.
Oh, I made it the whole way.
Take it or leave it. When this happens, you're rooting for the bulls.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'm always rooting for the bulls in these.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you got gored in the neck while you were running away from a bull while you're wearing red and he's trying to get you.
And
you put
bull.
Yourself in that position. And the bull's probably terrified.
Scared? Doesn't
Mortified,
know where he's
petrified.
Going? A 23-year-old man from Florence, Kentucky, and a 40-year-old Spanish man were both gored in the thigh.
Oh, ow.
Yeah. That's got to be terrible. You guys ever seen the photo of the the bullfighter that got a horn through the bottom of his mouth? Mm-hmm. And it came, well, from his, I guess, what is this, the jaw?
Yeah, but came up and out.
Out through his mouth?
Yeah. It's that probably stung.
Yeah, it's an awesome photo. Go check it out if you want to throw up.
Can I give you one more?
Yeah.
You saw over the weekend that the Dolphins' Kendrick Norton lost his left arm in a auto accident. Had it amputated.
Oh, jeez.
One of his teammates says tweets to him, thoughts and prayers are with you. And the Norton tweets back, thanks, bruh. Bring me a watch when you visit. Take it or leave it. Norton could listen to the fast lane.
I'm going to take it.
That's
And then
awful.
With a laughing emoji. It was pretty funny.
That is awesome that you can have a bit of a sense of humor after you lost an arm. I got to be honest, fellas, while I totally know that you guys would make fun of me and make jokes, I'm not quite sure I'd be in on them right off the bat.
Big Sis, what do you got?
Take it or leave it, the Clippers, as of today, are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I'll take it.
They're pretty deep.
I don't know who it is. I'll take it just because I feel like there's so much. There's a lot of parity now. There's a lot of teams that have a couple of guys that you believe can go run the table.
There are 8 teams right now with 15-1 odds or better to win next year. 8.
Hey,
that's a lot.
If Klay Thompson is back in February and the Warriors make the playoffs, they will have to be considered right there with Green and Curry and Thompson. And then you bring back your center, Looney. Got a lot of good things going there. So there, and the Lakers will be good. They've added a lot of good pieces. Bringing Rondo back makes no sense to me. But, yeah, there's a lot of good teams out there.
We've talked about a rally song for the Cardinals. Take it or leave it. It should be Walking in Memphis because that's where their starting lineup should come from.
My God.
I'll take it.
That is not.
I'm going to leave it.
That
and every
is not
time
nice.
I hear that song, it's not a positive memory for me. Oh, okay, that's kind of better. They used to play Walking in Memphis before every game, and I was like, I get it. I know where I'm at. I like Memphis and all, but just don't want to be here again.
I'll take it, though.
Got a prayer in Memphis.
And, Randy, this one may kind of be just for you, but take it or leave it. In 1977, Elvis's death was the most shocking musician death of your lifetime.
Yeah, I'll take it, although to me, at that time I was like 14, and so I thought 42 was super old when he died. But it was a big story. I remember how big of a story it was.
Well, it was just because near the end of his career anyhow. Like, he had had his best days.
I looked at him as a has-been by then.
We get a text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, regarding the one-arm receiver.
Yeah.
It says, his humor is disarming, from the 573.
Oh.
Very nice. Very nice.
Come on.
It was a detail.
All claps since he came.
Yeah. It was David Njoku who said, I'm coming to see you in a few days, and Norton said, bring me a watch.
That's just terrible.
Pretty funny. Just, thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
Let's not start doing this now.
No, we don't.
Oh, God. Oy. Are we going to start
Bucky
making...
LaGrange.
Are we going to start sending text messages about one-armed people now?
I don't think we are. We only got one.
It's not
nice. Everybody's being pretty nice
calm.
Today.
Let's not do that.
Thanks to Big Sis, and thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Hey, you heard us sing, and now it's your turn. That's right. We want to know what your favorite 1970s song is, but there's a catch. You have to sing it, ladies and gentlemen. Send us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app and show us what you've got. We want to hear from you. Any song you want from the 70s, you are next on 101 ESPN. You can still vote on Twitter at the 101 ESPN page, 101 ESPN Fast Lane. Just go to 101 ESPN Fast Lane and vote. Who do you think was the better 70s singer? Was it BT with Bohemian Rhapsody? Was it Ronge with Ain't No Mountain High Enough? Or was it me with Afternoon Delight? You can vote at the 101 ESPN Fast Lane page. We do want to hear from you with your favorite 70s song. The mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app. And our first is Mike.
Whoa,
Well done, Mike.
Yeah, there's a 30-second limit on the mic drop
thing. Right.
For good reason.
But he knew.
That's a very good reason to have it.
Pretty smart.
I mean, that was good. Appreciate it.
It was
good.
Excellent.
It was really good. It was better than us.
Yeah.
John is next. That was awesome.
Love apples.
Love apples. They're the best.
Here's our next.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
Get some.
I like that.
Go ahead.
That was awesome.
That song just reminds me of Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
You guys haven't seen it, have you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You need to get on it. It's great.
The only thing I've got is when Peter Griffin acts like he's him in Roadhouse and just roundhouse kicks everybody. Roadhouse.
Let's hear from Keith.
All right, all right.
All right, Keith, good job.
It was a good job.
Yeah. Sean is next. That was pretty fantastic.
That was really good.
We're from Greece, right?
I mean, yeah. Who?
Tell me more.
Who has the ability to play multiple roles? I mean, I don't have that.
A schizophrenic does. Or no, is it multiple personality disorder?
Same.
Yeah.
Or there's something else, too. Bipolar?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I think that's more of a like a
just a mood change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How about Aaron on 101 ESPN? We have talented people.
That was actually Art Garfunkel.
I got a feeling that he cried at the end of that.
I'm crying now.
Wherever he ended up doing that song, there was a tear that fell.
Yeah,
I can see that. I can definitely hear
it. I feel
very sad. That came from the loins. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
How about Damien on 101 ESPN? That was pretty fantastic, too. Well,
really
all
good.
Of the people that called in to sing were fantastic.
Yeah, these are great.
I think they were better than us.
You call in, you text in. I mean, these are great. That was really good.
It's not bad.
I mean, that is your 70s song.
Yeah. We've got one more here.
Okay.
Oh, that was it. Oh, Matthew.
That was pretty good.
Matthew,
good job, Matthew.
Job.
A texter says that it's a good thing St. Louis is good at drinking because we certainly ain't good at singing.
That's true.
That
another
is
one right under
true.
That, Ronge. Back to the whole one-arm receiver thing. This guy actually, unfortunately, had a buddy that got into a car accident, lost the whole left side of his body. He's all right.
Okay. Okay. See?
Unbelievable.
I told you. Like the one here that says, come on, Chris. I thought it was humorous.
Like the bone. I get it.
Terrible.
Funny. Hey, we still have time for you to get in and vote. Right now, BT is leading the way as our Fastlane's top 70s singer. BT has 46%. I'm down at 36%. And Ronge is at 18%. So you need to vote now for your favorite 70s singer from the Fastlane on 101 ESPN.
We got a lot of sticklers here who want to remind us Sound of Silence was released in the 60s and not the 70s.
Too stickler for me.
I mean, come on.
I remember it from the 70s.
So do I.
Yeah.
Right when it came
out. I was born in 82. I'll allow it.
Thank you. Hey, after a weekend full of action, we want your questions now. Get them into the Hot Shots text line 65780, and Big Sizz will provide your questions for us in the Sports Six-Pack next on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. And let's take the latest look at our poll here. Who is the number one 70s singer in the Fastlane? Is it BT? Is it Ronge? Is it Randy? Right now, BT still leading the way. Go to, I'm in second, Ronge is in third. Go to Twitter.com and go to 101 ESPN Fastlane, and you can bet. You can vote with our poll there.
You might be able
better
to
hurry.
Bet.
Just only a minute left. Better
only
hurry.
A minute to go. Hurry now.
Jump
Big
on
Sizz,
our poll.
What do you got for us?
Back-to-back World Cup title wins for the U.S. women's team.
Yes.
What was the most impressive part of this win? The competition they faced? The fact that it's back-to-back?
I mean, just they dominant.
Yeah. And they take everybody's best shot. They are dominant, and everybody knows that they're the best team, and they take the best shot, and they still win the game. Match. On the pitch.
Oh, I'm wearing those kits.
Mm-hmm.
Like the greatest-selling U.S. soccer kit ever, men's or women's.
Yeah. You know, it is a fact that it is the back-to-back. Even if they are the most talented, somebody's, as you mentioned, everybody's trying to knock you off. And you could just have one bad game or that fluke goal that ends up being the difference or that little lapse because you just feel like you're better than everybody. And they didn't do that. It's impressive.
Every one of their wins felt inevitable.
We do have a winner in the Fastlane poll. Congratulations to Brad Thompson.
Darn it.
Oh, nice.
46% of the votes.
God, that's pretty good.
Randy at 36, Ranj at 18.
Well, I want to thank my wife, kids, my parents, obviously you, the listeners. I mean, you made this possible. Feels good.
I'd like a recount. I feel like maybe this election had been interfered with.
How? I don't think you got screwed by that much.
We don't know.
If
you never
in fact
know.
There was a recount.
I feel like a lot of dead people voted.
I see dead people.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Should see somebody about that.
Yeah.
The home run derby is tonight. BT, why are you not pitching in it?
I knew that was coming. I saw that come across the text line. It's a valid question. You know, the thing, and I've talked about this on air before, and it will come off as laughable because you guys got a chance to see it for parts of 6 years. I can't throw BP so well. I really don't. I can't throw strikes in batting
practice. Your sinker, right?
No, I think I get the yips.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. Because I'll throw one at like somebody's head, then I'll spike two so I don't hit them again, and then I get all domed up about it. I don't know. I got problems.
The Cardinals, the question we've been asking all season, are they true contenders or a cruel tease until September?
I'm just going to go with currently the standings, and I'll just call them contenders. Now, I'm saying contenders to make the playoffs. The team that we're seeing right now, to me, is not going to compete for a World Series. That team has to be a lot better. But they're contenders to be a playoff team currently, and I do believe that there's a lot more in the tank. They just got to prove that.
Numerically, they definitely are. They're two games out in the wild card race, two games out in the division. But the eye test would tell you, and the 44-44 would tell you, that they are a tease.
That's the important idea for me anyway, is we're all trying to project, of all the teams that are in the race right now, who's going to go on a run. And maybe nobody does. Maybe everybody in this division kind of stays where they are and continues to have the trouble they're having now throughout the remainder of the year. But I would not, at this point, pick the Cardinals to go on a run over everybody else.
I can't imagine that Washington won't go on a run with their starting pitching. If they don't win their division, which they're way behind in now, I have to believe that they'll be both Washington and Atlanta are going to be playoff teams. The Dodgers are going to be a playoff team. So now you've got Chicago, Milwaukee, San Diego, Philly, Arizona, Colorado, and the Cardinals. And you have to throw the Pirates in there because they're even with the Rockies, and then maybe even the Reds.
And I think it's more likely there are a lot of other teams that are more. Look, the Dodgers, the Cubs, maybe even the Brewers. These teams we're talking about are more likely to make a significant move before the deadline than the Cardinals are.
True.
71 hot dogs for Joey Chestnut last Thursday at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
I thought you were going to say for you this weekend.
No. Did not hit. Barely got above 50. Wow. But not quite 71. If you had 10 minutes, you know you're going to puke, you're going all in. How many hot dogs could you eat?
12.
I'm thinking that I could probably average 2 a minute. I'm probably not. Probably 17-ish, 16 or 17 would be where I would top out.
How much time?
10 minutes.
I get 10 minutes. Oh, I'm probably doing like 8 or 9.
How about you, Big Sis?
I'd give myself 15, I think.
15?
Yeah.
Oh.
If I'm going to puke at some point, and I think if I puke, I'm going to be
a reversal
I'm
of fortune.
Be done.
Actually, you know what? I don't think 8 would make me throw up. It's probably got to be double digits for me, too. So I'm going to go with, did you say 12?
Yeah.
18? I think that's about where I am.
Can we reenact this just for meat? I don't think that we all want to participate, but I want to watch. We'll buy the dogs, grill them up.
I don't want to watch meat throw up.
When I won that contest at Woofie's many years ago, it was probably 15 years ago, I ate 6 of them, I think, and they were fully dressed Big Daddies, and I think I did 6 in 12 minutes.
Well, it was fully dressed. Like, what all did it have on it?
It had relish, tomato, onion.
See, that's a big difference than you're just straight up dog.
And how big is a big daddy? Is it a foot?
No, I think it's like 8 inches. It's a Chicago-style dog. It's a big dog. But that was back in the day.
That's a lot.
This one from the Hotshot text line, 65780. If ownership decides this team is not going to make any noise in the playoffs and are sellers at the deadline, what kind of haul could they get for Marp or Ozuna?
I don't think it's much.
Ozuna, you can get stuff for when he's healthy, but the problem is right now, you don't know exactly what you're going to get before July 31st. You could still get something, I believe, significant for Marcell Ozuna, but if you sell off Marcell, you're selling off your season, in my opinion.
What do we think in terms of significant for a guy who's only under contract through the rest of the year?
I think that you could end up getting a top 10 prospect from somebody. I mean, that's significant in return, and then maybe a little something else.
Not a top 10 in all of baseball, but a
top 10 from their organization. Yeah.
I would go along with that. And I think, actually, with Carpenter, the fact that they extended him probably reduces his value for somebody else.
I'm not sure you could, and I don't think that they want to, obviously, with them extending him. I don't think that you're going to move that contract without paying a lot of it.
Right.
And it is flashback week. Today we're celebrating the 70s. If you could go back to any decade, what would you choose?
Are you probably the age you are now?
Or you're just going back for a day, you know?
Oh, just a day?
Couple days.
Oh.
Who knows? Not forever.
I don't know. I think I like the 90s. I had fun in the 90s.
90s were good.
I'm going to go back to the 90s. Probably going to go see Vanilla Ice.
See, I think I would probably go with the 70s. I'd like to see what the scene was like at Studio 54 in the 70s. I'd go to NYC.
Wait, you didn't say in our lifetime, did you?
No, you can go back to...
Okay, I kind of want to do that whole 20s thing.
Oh, the roaring
20s. Yeah, I want to see what was going on in those places that weren't supposed to be open.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
A lot of stuff.
That's pretty good. I do want to see Randy at Studio 54, though, honestly.
I'm just observing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to see how wild that was. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots. Text line 65780. Next up, what are the biggest questions the Cardinals face as they embark on the second half of the season on Friday? That's next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Hotel California.
That's right.
One of the all-time great songs.
Hey, I got to interview Jim Lovell once.
Really?
That's like my most exciting interview.
That's awesome.
Right?
That would have been great.
He just
was he a nice guy?
Yeah, he was super nice. And then, we did it. I was not responsible for recording the thing. I would just like to make that clear.
Okay.
We did the whole thing, and then the person with the camera goes, "Can you guys do that again? We had a problem."
That's the worst.
And this guy's older, right?
Yeah.
And
did
I
he
just
do it felt, again?
Yeah.
Wow, what a trooper!
He's super nice about
it. You ever
it.
Listen to that album backwards?
No. Which one?
Hotel California.
Oh no, I have not. What happens?
Maybe you should. I don't know. That's what the hipsters say.
Something cool. I thought it was a Beatles album.
Maybe it is. Lots of things they listen to backwards. On weed.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Cardinals need to improve here during the second half of the season. And Paul Goldschmidt is a guy who picked it up here in the last weekend with the success that he enjoyed in San Francisco. But this is a guy that had... First of all, 900-plus career OPS coming into this season. In May, it was 744. In June, he only had a 582 on-base plus slugging. But so far in July, it's back up to 1.167. In the month of July, a couple of homers, six RBIs. So he is turning things around. But when you talk about what the Cardinals need to have happen for them in the second half, he is at the top of any list.
He has to be. I can't foresee a scenario where the Cardinals go on a run and they're a playoff team and Paul Goldschmidt has little to do with it. I feel like he is the key. He's everything that has to do with the second half. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing that needs to change. There are a lot of things that need to get better for this club, but he is the guy. When they went out and made this trade, I feel like 99.9, if not 100% of people were excited about it and were pumped up about it, because you were going to have a presence in the middle of the order that you haven't had, arguably since the first couple of years of Matt Holliday, but really since Albert, when you look at the career arc that Paul Goldschmidt has been on. And outside of a couple of weeks in April, he just has not been that guy. And when you look at the bulk of work that he's had, you have to believe it's still there. I don't know what has hindered him. I don't know if it's a feel, if he's just he is just off, but I have to believe it's going to get better.
I mean, unless he's injured, right? I mean, I think that's about the only thing that would make me believe there's just no way he can come out of whatever he's dealing with, because it's not like the dude's 36 or 37. When a player gets to be in his mid-30s, then you could totally see you know, like a regression or deterioration of skills, but he's not at that age right now, and it usually doesn't happen as rapidly as it's happening for him. He is, as a hitter goes in the National League, slightly above average, but that's not where he needs to be. Where he needs to be is a top five National League producer, because that's what he's been for several years of his career, and that's exactly why the Cardinals went to get him. So while you don't want to put all of this on him, and it still is not fair to do that, he just isn't anything like what we've seen in the past, and that is a big reason things are the way they are this year.
Last year, Harrison Bader had a 756 OPS, and I kind of figured that he would ascend. He hit 264, 334 on base, 422 slug, and I thought he would get better. He also struck out 125 times last year in 379 at-bats. This year, he's only hitting 205. He only has a 675 OPS. But the strikeouts haven't gone away. He has struck out 62 times in 195 at-bats. None of those numbers are congruous with winning baseball, especially from your center fielder.
No, they're not. And the thing with Harrison Bader, I do believe that the organization, first of all, thought that there was going to be a little bit more there in the second year, but they also believe that it wouldn't be as glaring if he had his struggles due to the fact that this team was constructed with guys like Goldschmidt and Carpenter and Ozuna. And, you know, we've been down this road before. So it's more glaring currently, his struggles. And honestly, at this point with Harrison Bader, even though they did trot him out and they wanted him to be the guy and take over in center field and be there for the foreseeable future, and certainly that is still a possibility to happen. He's an elite level defender. He's got big time speed, but he's struggling up to bat. He's having his issues. It wouldn't be shocking to me at some point in the second half if he gets a little tune-up at some point. If it's, all right, Rosarena is swinging it really well. He's doing some things at AAA. Maybe they do like a little flip-flop. That wouldn't shock me right now.
I wouldn't be shocked if we get a rebound from him in any way. If that's what they have to do, they have to send him to AAA and let him get at-bats there or whatever. It would not surprise me if he comes out of this a little bit. But maybe we were hopeful or a little bit too hopeful by what he would become as an offensive player. We know the defense is going to be fine. The dude can move. He's smooth in center field. He knows how to play out there. So I'm never going to have any trouble or worry about his play in the field. But maybe he just is never going to be an everyday offensive player. Since the beginning of May, he's hitting .199 and his on-base percentage is .289. That, look, if he were not playing good defense, I think he would have been out of the lineup a long time ago.
Yadi has been bothered by the thumb. He's also 36 years old. He's missed 17 games, 14 since May 29th. And that's another guy that, because he's 36, you have to be concerned about if you're the Cardinals. He's hitting .261. His OPS is only .654, and he's not the offensive player that he has been in the past. And even though teams aren't running on him, the defensive metrics don't favor Yadi this year either.
Yeah, with Yadi, I still look at Yadi as, it's not fair to say that he, whatever he gives you is a bonus offensively, but I still don't look at him as a guy that is carrying your team offensively. If Yadi's the guy that has to carry you offensively, I think you're in some trouble. He can do it in stretches. He's done it before, but he's still a guy that I like up in a big spot to drive a ball to the right side or take a tough at bat. But certainly the numbers don't look as great as they have in the past. I don't consider him a huge issue, though. I do believe having this extra break here, guys, might be very beneficial for him, though.
See, and I'm with you on that. They can't count on him to be a big offensive guy for them. How many teams in baseball have their catcher as like one of their big-time heart-of-the-order hitters? There aren't many. I mean, he used to be Buster Posey. He's not quite what he used to be, but, you know, there was him. And you're going to be hard-pressed to find a lot of guys who are like that.
This is a guy that's hit fourth or fifth even this year, though.
Right, and that's the issue.
That's the it's like Bader. What's mm-hmm. surrounding him is what's distressing. And mm-hmm. the Cardinals, you got to get Ozuna back in there. I kind of think that what we've seen from Dexter Fowler, and it's been good. I think it's better than expected, but it's also all we can expect from Dexter Fowler. If he has a second half like his first, yeah, I would take that.
Yeah, I'd be very happy if he just continues on the same path and does what he's doing. By the way, we get a text from the 636 on the Hotshot text line, 65780. Says, which fingers have been used more recently from Yachty? His thumb, which has been an issue, or the middle finger? I'd have to think that he is talking about Instagram.
Yes.
You haven't been on Yachty's Instagram. He went ham.
So, to look at this, Wonger is a terrific defensive player. But when you have so many guys that need to hit seventh or eighth, you put Yachty in that mix, you put Bader in that mix, you put Wong in that mix. I think the way Carpenter is hit, you put him in that mix. You've got too many guys, half your lineup, that should be seventh or eighth hitters.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the main issue. It's not that you do have too many hitters outside of what they normally do, which is a massive problem. Paul Goldschmidt, outside of what he normally does, big problem. Matt Carpenter, same thing. Everybody else, you're okay if they're doing what they're doing, but on any other team, they would be slotted down in the order. And that's the biggest problem the Cardinals have right now. We talk about their starting pitching, which I still think is something they could insulate a little bit, and that would help them. But that offense, man, it is. You cannot go out there and get totally blanked while your starting pitcher is throwing a no-hitter into the seventh inning. You have got to help him out.
I'm with you. Jeff Samardzija came in with a nice start the previous one. It was 8 strong against the Padres, and he looked good. He didn't look that
no.
good. So I'm right there with you. I have a question for both of you.
Okay.
On Friday, after the All-Star break, when the Cardinals resume their second half of the season and look to make the playoff push, assuming that Matt Carpenter is going to be healthy, because, I mean, that's what all accounts are, who is leading off that ballgame?
Should be Tommy Edman.
I said, who is?
It's Matt Carpenter.
Yep. I think it's Matt Carpenter as well.
Yeah. By the way, Dylan Carlson, he was in the Futures game yesterday. He's got an 856 OPS at AA. I don't think that we see him at until September at the earliest, but that is a guy that might provide some hope for you down the road as far as outfield offense is concerned. He's got 17 doubles, 13 homers. He's slugging .510.
He's having a really good year.
Yeah, and he's a top-level prospect. So maybe he's a guy that at some point helps this team, and a switch hitter, some point helps this team out.
What I don't want to have happen here is the Cardinals to get, and I don't think they're going to do this, but I don't want them to be in a situation where they're just throwing stuff at the wall. Like, all right, well, let's try this guy, see if he works, and give him 3 or 4 weeks, and all right, that's not working. Okay, how about this guy? He's hitting well. If they've got a plan, which they do for all of their young players, stick to that plan. Dude, forget about this season when it comes to your prospects. You operate as if the big league team and what they're doing this season doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is their development.
Yeah, Randy, I agree with you that at the earliest, it would be September yeah, if, in
right.
fact, you're going to do something. What the Cardinals have done a very good job of in recent history is putting young players that they get called up, especially position players, in a good position to succeed. And right now, with a very stagnant offense, if you made a move like Dylan Carlson, and I know that you guys aren't suggesting that, but many people on Twitter are, I mean, because that's where we're at right now with the struggling offense, you're not putting him in a great position to succeed. What you're putting him in is in a situation where it says, Dylan, we really need you. We know you're
yes.
like 20 years old, but God, we need you. I know you haven't played above AA, but could you come to the big leagues and really help us out? That's not a great idea.
No, then you're putting that in his head, that if you don't come up here and save us right now, and he doesn't do that, who knows what that does to him and his development. That would be a really bad idea. I don't believe they're going to operate that way, but they shouldn't even consider it.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, if you don't have trust issues, give us about 5 minutes to change that. That's next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.